Hello, it's Bob Barney with the Plain Truth Today's Friday wrap-up, and we want to go through quite a busy week. It's been a tragic week in air travel, at least with a cargo plane and what happened on the ground. It's been a week of what the election 2025 brought us, and also what the government shutdown is continually bringing us. And we'll start out, I guess, with the first thing is the election results. And the election results was a big blowout, mainly for Democrats' favor. There is a lot, if you dig deep inside, and the Republicans are trying to tell this to everybody that will listen to them. If you dig deep inside some of these election results, Republicans did better in some areas in the hinterlands of the United States than was expected. There was some Democratic districts where Republicans won some minor seats in masses like they have not won in those districts. So there seems to be a little bit of angst on some areas that are pro-Democrat and not necessarily pro-leftist Democrat. They're not looking for Mamdani-type communist in their state. And we saw this over and over again in certain little areas that's just not getting media coverage. I did do a report on this Wednesday morning after the election. You can go back in the podcast and you can say what I said on the Tuesday show about elections and then the Wednesday show. I'm not going to go over everything here with the elections, but I do want to give a roundup on the elections. And so I had a commentary both Tuesday and Wednesday on it. I think in Virginia, a lot of people were concerned about the attorney general, Jay Jones guy, who wanted his opponents. He dreamed and envisioned his opponents in the state legislature could be killed and their children could be killed as well. And people cannot believe the man got elected. I'll get into that in a second. But I think the bigger story, in my opinion, is both New York and the lieutenant governor's race in Virginia, where the first Muslim woman, first Muslim woman as well, holds statewide office in the state of Virginia. Muslims are attacking this country. This is a jihad. I know this ain't popular, very politically correct and popular, but we have an effort of radical terrorist-type Muslims trying to get control of certain cities. They've done so in Germany. They've done so especially the city of London, for example, in England. It's become a Muslim city. It's not a white city. It's not an English city. It's not even an ethnic city. It is a Muslim-run city by Muslims who absolutely despise anyone who's not of their faith. In fact, the Muslim religion allows them to kill anyone who they consider an infidel, and it's serving God's purpose. Remember, Jesus said they will kill you thinking they're doing God a service, and that is being fulfilled with the Muslim religion. And these people winning, like Mamdani in New York, you saw the day after he was elected, all of a sudden this nice guy became this vicious mayor-elect and talking viciously. And violence against Jews in New York like doubled the next day. It's a foreshadow of what's going to happen. Same thing in Virginia. These people are not moderate Muslims, you know, that you grew up back in the 50s and 60s and never saw them ever spout any violence at all. These people are here. They're implanted by a jihad movement to kill you. And to do away with your rights, to do away with this country. They're using the election process, the freedom of this country to get into power, to take away that very freedom once they're there, because they don't believe. Name me one democratic Muslim nation in the world. I got a better one for you. Name me a communist Muslim nation of the world. Name me a Muslim nation that is socialist or communist. Yet every single Muslim mayor or Muslim politician in any place in the West, I don't care if it's England, Germany, or America, they don't run as economic conservatives, and they don't run as people of the faith, per se. No, they all run as communist. There is no Muslim who believes in the communist way of anything. They are not communists, but Muslims use whatever they can use to get into power in order to reveal who they really are. Think of Satan the devil and how he masquerades as an angel of light. Well, so does his demons, and the Muslims are a large part the terrorist Muslims, especially the Islamic jihadists, which are the people that are taking over this country or trying to, they're the demons of Satan. And I, like I said, I know it's not politically correct. I know people don't want to hear that, but that's the case. But I'm going to get into what I think the big story of the election really is. And but to get into that, we had a story how America Votes J.D. Vance's brother loses this, his mayoral bid for Cincinnati. J.D. Vance's half-brother was running for mayor of Cincinnati, and he did not make it. And I think the real reason for that is Trump has electified the leftist base against his policies. And that's the case. What we had was a presidential-type turnout on the left, and on the Republican side, a normal off-year election turnout. The Republicans didn't show up. The leftists did. The communist Democrats did in mass. And that is why we have the results that we have, because Donald Trump has divided this country. He has not united this country. Great presidents unite. Terrible presidents divide. This is not the same Donald Trump that we saw in Trump 1.0. I say this over and over again on this program. He is a divisive, bitter man who's trying to do everything he can do to get back the money he lost and to get even with his political enemies and to turn this nation into a dictatorship. As I point out, it will never happen in this country. He might want to be a dictator, but it's not going to happen. He might want to be a king, but it's not going to happen. In fact, we saw Tuesday night the laying or the sowing of seeds of Donald Trump's end coming soon. Donald Trump's presidency basically has come to an end Tuesday night. Now he's a lame duck president, and soon to have a Congress that's going to impeach him next year unless something radically changes. And I think that could only come from heaven, because it's surely not going to come from Donald Trump. Donald Trump doubles down. He refuses to admit the economy is in shambles. The economy is worse now than it was under Biden. And you say, how can that be? We're not having runaway inflation. No. We're having moderately gaining inflation on top of runaway inflation. And now the strangling of the middle class has gone into high gear. And then with tie the tariffs to this, the tariff policy that he did, the middle class is done. The middle class cannot breathe. And what they are doing is they're striking back against Republicans for blindly going along with Donald Trump. And it's devastating. And it's devastating for this country if we're going to have Democrat rule. Remember my position on cognitive dissonance. People swing back and forth. And we're on our way to swing awfully back to the left. And we're going to have an awful, awful time. The state of Virginia, where I'm at with my paint company, we're going to go through hell for the next 4 years under this this new governor. I can see it now. The schools are going to go through hell, going to have men back into the girls' locker rooms, and everything is going to go like it was before. The Democrats are not the answer, but Donald Trump has pushed the American people to the Democrat cause. I'll be right back. The Plain Truth Today is the one place to go to listen to or watch videos or listen to Bob Barney and other commentators about why things are happening today and what God has to do with it. That's theplaintruthtoday.com. And you can get there by also going to theplaintruth.com, where you can go to the message board, you can go to Your Health Today, or the main page of The Plain Truth, which explains a lot which is on these broadcasts. That's theplaintruth.com. Bob Barney speaking. Thank you for listening. Well, the next thing I wanted to get into is the economy, because as I said in the last part, this lousy economy going to get worse and worse and worse is what's dragging Donald Trump down. And Donald Trump, surprisingly, is acting like Joe Biden. What did Joe Biden do when we had runaway inflation? He denied it. What did Joe Biden do when the price of eggs went up to $12 a dozen and they're still there if you're organic? Yeah, he denied it. This is exactly the same playbook that Donald Trump is saying. He goes on TV and Bret Baier reads him a comment from a woman who voted for him three times, 2016, 2020, and 2024. She loves him, and she says, Mr. President, you have to understand the economy is not getting better. The economy is actually getting worse. Yes, the price of eggs has fallen down, but all the price of all my other food has gone up. You have to get involved. You have to stop running around the world, trying to put out fires around the world, and you have to get involved with our economy here at home. And what was his response to a woman who voted for him three times? His response to her is, the problem you have, miss, is that you're listening to Republicans who are just not touting all the great things that I have done. Gas is nearly $2 a gallon. It's nearly three. Eggs are down. Food is down. No, food is up about 6%. Beef is up almost 25%. All your energy bills are lower. No. Electricity is up 37%. All he did was do a Joe Biden to this woman who is begging him to change policies, and he refuses to do so. He refuses to understand that his tariffs have destroyed the middle class of this country. No, it hasn't destroyed Wall Street, because Wall Street doesn't depend on tariffs. Wall Street doesn't depend on businesses that sell products that come from overseas or manufacture products from raw materials that come from overseas, and the small mom and pop family-owned businesses that are being decimated and destroyed by the tens of thousands every single month because of these tariff policies. And the only hope we have, of course, is if the Supreme Court knocks it down. This week, they heard arguments, and I was listening intently to those arguments. And I'll tell you right now, anybody who thinks that the president has a right to tariff the entire world as a emergency power, and I can't believe the court's going to do this, but I'll tell you the truth. I'll never be surprised anything the Supreme Court does or anything this Congress does or anything this president does right now. This country is under attack by its own politicians, and especially the Republican politicians who refuse to stand up to Donald Trump and say he's wrong. And Trump 1.0, when he was president the first time around, he had people around him that could argue with him and get him to think. All he's got around him today are yes people who agree with everything he says and strokes his ego. And now we have media that's so afraid of being sued by him, all they want to do is stroke his ego. And by stroking this man's ego, you are absolutely turning him into a monster. And the country is paying the cost of it because nobody wants to stand up to the guy. But I'll get you some things we've had on the message board. The job cuts in October hit the highest level in 22 years. We've had big companies now, UPS, which had that awful disaster with the airplane, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. UPS cut 10,000 jobs. Amazon cut, I believe, 20,000 jobs. Big companies now are cutting jobs by the tens of thousands. And job cuts for, like I said, for October totaled 153,000 people lost their jobs in October. And this is not counting the government people who are not being paid, laid off. That's a 183% surge for September. Now, here is a number that came out this week, which again we had on the message board. Household debt has hit $18.6 trillion as delinquencies remain elevated. American people now owe themselves personally half of what this government is in debt. This government is $38 trillion in debt. And people's households, the United States citizenry, has an $18 trillion personal debt. Student loan is at $1 trillion. So you add up the $39 trillion, the $18 trillion, the $1 trillion, and then the unfunded liabilities of $99 trillion. This country is bankrupt. This country cannot continue. We are becoming slaves, and we are so quickly losing our ability to ever pay these debts. And what is going to result out of this is wars all over the place. And Donald Trump's trying to get into wars all over the place. But again, this week, total household debt reported by The Hill climbed a record $18 trillion last quarter. And while most borrowers remain on track with payments, young Americans are feeling the pressure and not making their payments. During the third quarter, 3% of the outstanding balances, that's 3% of $18 trillion, became seriously delinquent, meaning more than 90 days past due. This is the largest quarterly increase since 2014, Obama years, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And who it affects mainly is those age 18 to 29. Mortgage debt alone was $13 trillion. Auto debt is $1.66 trillion. Student debt is $1.65 trillion. Credit card debt is $1.23 trillion. And all other debts, about a half a trillion. Home equity lines credit is about a half a trillion dollars. So the home equity, what people have in their bank accounts and in their equity, their homes, won't even cover a fraction of what they owe. And now when you figure out all of these government employees laid off, many working without being paid with air traffic controllers, and then another 153,000 good paying jobs by big companies that offer all kinds of benefits, including healthcare, is laid off. The country's in problems. And I've been saying this reluctantly. I hate to say this, but I've been saying this since February, when Donald Trump surrounded himself on Inauguration Day by a bunch of billionaires doing anything he could do to line the pockets of his family and these billionaires at the expense of you and I and all the middle class of America. And I'm sorry, these mega ever Trumpers want to sit there and still say he's next to Jesus Christ. I think some of them think he's greater than Jesus Christ, and they are riding a train to hell following this man right now. He's deranged, in my opinion. He's got an ego that's too big for his britches, and he's got a God that's going to turn against him, if not turn against him, real soon. And there's hell to pay in America. I'll be right back. TheplainTruth.com. Please go there every day to go to Your Health Today and find out what you can do to improve your health, your physical being, and to please God by following his diet. You can find that with TheplainTruth.com. Thank you. Well, we're back with some other news of the week, and one of the big ones, of course, is the big plane crash in Kentucky at Muhammad Ali Airport, when a UPS DC-11, MD-11 they call now, but it was the old DC-11, a very fractured plane from the get-go. Right from the beginning of that plane, they had a problem with an engine staying on it, the left engine especially. We saw that horrible crash this week, but it reminded us of the crash in 1978 or 79 when the DC-11 did the same thing, leaving Chicago O'Hare Airport, killing all the passengers on board. In fact, we put up a video of one of the pilots, Steve, he's called. He's got videos explaining crashes. We use them a lot, explaining that when he first got into the pilot's business in 1991, he flew one of these commercially for passenger service, this MD-11, for 2 years. And he said all the airlines that had passengers realized that it was a maintenance nightmare, that this airplane was horrible. You know, they talk about Boeing. Boeing is nothing like what Airbus has been and what these other air companies have been. But there is an attack on Boeing, but that's a side story. But he said within 2 years of him becoming a pilot in 1991, all of the major airlines that flew passengers on the MD-11 decided they needed to get rid of the plane, even though it had, you know, billions of dollars invested, and they sold them all to cargo planes. And UPS bought a lot, and FedEx bought a lot, and a lot of cargo planes that fly into South America and around the world in other countries bought all these MD-11s because, frankly, cargo pilots are more expendable than airline passengers, and that's the brutal facts of the case. I was personal friends with a guy who was a cargo pilot way back in 1980. He used to visit my cousin's body shop and radiator shop in Hollywood, Florida, and he flew cargo 707s, which are very safe plane, by the way, 707 cargo planes to Columbia twice or three times a week. And as a side note, he was the pilot that actually trained Garner Ted Armstrong on multi-engine jet pilot's license way back in the day, knew him quite well. But anyway, he was always saying about they flew planes that nobody would ever dare put a passenger on. And when you're a cargo pilot, you understand that your life is quite expendable because you're just, you're not even worth as much as the value of the cargo that you're carrying on that airplane. They care more about the cargo than they do you. And I don't think UPS is that way or FedEx. I think the bigger airlines are a little bit more concerned about their pilots. But at the same time, they're still flying planes that passenger plane companies will not fly. And I want to play a little bit about this airplane disaster here from the NTSB and then wrap it up and tell you what my take on this whole thing is.
So here's some factual information we have at this time. And I'm going to read a few notes to make sure we have it exact. The airplane involved was a McDonnell Douglas II, which was then altered to be an MD-11F. The F stands for freighter. It is now handled by the Boeing Corporation. So whenever you hear that Boeing is a party, it is because of the merger with McDonnell Douglas many years ago.
Which hurt Boeing terribly, by the way.
And these aircraft have been around for a very long time. If you saw my previous video, I get into a little bit of the history of this aircraft.
This is an airline.
But aircraft were
maintained
for decades, and they continue to operate and serve in different capacities, depending on which company buys them and what they're going to use them for. So UPS buying this, turning it into an F, into a freighter, just makes sense. They're using this type of jet to transfer packages all around the world.
The plane was manufactured in 1991 with a tail number of November 259UP. The plane was traveling from Louisville, Kentucky to Honolulu, Hawaii. There were three souls on board the plane. After being cleared for takeoff, a large...
So likely those three souls on board were a captain and two first officers. I did make a mistake in a previous video of mine where I talked about a loadmaster, but it looks like loadmasters aren't used by UPS any longer, and it should just be that three-person crew, and that is an augmented crew. So you have an extra pilot to give relief to one of the pilots where they can rest because it's such a long-haul flight. You're flying for the entire night, so you have to be able to take a break.
Plume of fire in the area of the left wing occurred during the takeoff roll. The plane lifted off and gained enough altitude to clear the fence at the end of runway 17R.
And those fences are probably somewhere, I'd say 12 feet high, something like that. So not very high. But this aircraft itself is pretty tall. I mean, if you look at these aircraft, the way that the landing gear hang down. So even if it got, you know, 15 feet of clearance, that aircraft is still up there pretty high as far as the nose of the aircraft goes.
Shortly after clearing that fence, it made impact with structures and the terrain off of the airport property.
Big retail.
So that's all I'm going to play on that. So the plane taken off, the left engine fell off is really what happened, caused a great big fireball on the wing. It lost lift. They could not get off the ground with the two remaining engines. And that right wing engine pushed that plane over to its side. And and there's some videos, if you want to go to the Plane Truth message board, there's videos from every angle, including a video of a trucker whose camera is affixed on part of the parking lot, and you see the plane crash right behind him. It's the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life, and I just have to say that this truck driver probably will have nightmares for the rest of his life of what he saw less than 100 feet, looks like, behind him as the plane crashes past him with a ball of fire. And at the time that it's crashing, the cockpit was still fully... free of any damage at all. These pilots are still alive in that plane knowing they're going to die. And as they're crashing sideways into the ground, and they travel for over a half a mile this way. It's just terribly frightening. And what we have to worry about in our aircraft industry in general, these things are going to happen. But I'm afraid that we are getting lax again in the safety that we're having. Even the idea that we have air traffic controllers that our government thinks it's okay not to pay for some 30 days, and now they're calling in sick. And as of this morning, flights around the United States have been cut back by 10%, which is almost like 4,000 flights. There's chaos everywhere. And if you think it's safe to fly right now, I think you're part of a problem of Americans like ostriches with their head in the ground, like all these ever-Trumpers with their head buried in the ground, and they don't actually see the news of what's happening. They just don't understand what's going on, and they don't want to understand, and that's very dangerous. If you don't learn from your history, you're going to repeat it. And so this crash has killed, it looks like, at least seven or eight people on the ground, including an infant, and it's a very tragic, terrible case for UPS and for the people there and for the people around the world. And I read this morning that UPS is just destroying boxes instead of delivering them now because they're so overwhelmed with boxes, they can't get them all delivered, and they're destroying them. I don't know what that means. That seems a little strange to me, but that's what's going on. On a more personal note, a driver in NASCAR who was running for the championship, Denny Hamlin, lost by their decision. I know there's all kinds of reports about why he should not have lost, and the point system is terrible, which it is. The NASCAR is a joke. It's like WWF today, and he is the true champion of this year, but the way the point system is. But this particular race, which he ran away with, and like I said, our company used to sponsor Denny Hamlin back in the late model days, but the idea with two laps to go to come in to take four tires after, and when you're leading the race and you just took tires eight laps earlier, was just a nonsense move on the part of the crew chief. And Denny Hamlin lost because of their own actions, not because of NASCAR. Although I do agree with Richard Petty that NASCAR is a joke. Richard Petty has absolutely turned on NASCAR, and I don't blame him because NASCAR is a joke today. The grandchildren of the founder are just jerks, and everybody who's known NASCAR as long as I have, since the 1970s, knows that NASCAR is going to soon be history. Can't even find a race on TV. You never know what channel is going to broadcast it anymore because nobody really wants to watch it. You watch the racetracks and you watch the seats, and you see 90% of the seats seem to be empty in most of these races that used to be full just 20 years ago. It's just part of the decline of American sports. And I wouldn't even be surprised if there's corruption in the NASCAR with the mafia like there was with basketball, baseball, football. I'm not surprised about anything today in this country with what's going on. But I want to get into tomorrow's the Sabbath day. And I keep saying, keep watching the Sabbath and following it's the Sabbath day, because that is the day that God says is his holy day, not Sunday, it's Sabbath day. Well, Saturday morning, tomorrow morning at 7:11 a.m., we have another Garner Ted Armstrong video, but it's really only his voice. It's one of his radio programs from the 1970s. Just What Is God is the name of the program, and it's goes into the real plain truth about who God is. It's two beings, Jesus Christ and the Father, made up of the Holy Spirit. And he gets into a lot of cherished notions that people think they know about the Godhead that do not. And it's a great video. Tomorrow night, as I always say, Saturday nights at 7:11 p.m., we always do some kind of a short story or an old TV show or sometimes a movie, very rarely, because nobody's going to sit around and watch a movie for the most part. We did so on Thanksgiving last year, I believe. We showed this whole Corey Boom story, The Hiding Place, the whole movie, 2 hours of it. But tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say, at 7:11 p.m., we have a 2002 Twilight Zone. Remember, the original Twilight Zone was in the 1950s and early 60s. Then it came back in 1985 for a year or two. We put up some of the better ones of that in the past. But this one from 2002 has Katherine Hagel, a very pretty girl to this day. She is in a lot of different things. People might remember from the Christian movie, One Love Comes Softly. It's a great movie itself. But anyway, she plays a woman who goes back in history from 2002 to 1930s or 20s or teens. I forgot when baby would have to be in the late 1890s when Hitler was a baby, and she goes back to kill the baby Hitler. And it's a fascinating, what if she was able to kill the baby Hitler? And of course, you realize she didn't. That's the whole idea of the show. It's a half hour. I think it's about 40 minutes long. It's very, very interesting to watch it. Tomorrow night at 7:11 p.m., a 2002 Twilight Zone about the baby Hitler and what would have happened if this woman succeeded. So tomorrow is the Sabbath, and I wish everybody that doesn't follow it would look into it and begin to follow it and forget Sunday, because Sunday is not God's day. The Sabbath day is, and tomorrow is the Sabbath day. We wish everyone a safe and happy weekend and Sabbath day if you're following it, and we'll be back here again Monday with another Plain Truth Today broadcast by me Monday noontime, as well as other program we put on 7:11 a.m. and 7:11 p.m. Monday through Friday. This is Bob Barney for the Plain Truth Friday's wrap-up, saying thank you for listening. We do appreciate you. Bye-bye.